Our world feels like it's coming apart, separating. Just watch the news. Look at the stats. There's so much competing for our time, our affection, our passion. However, God has joined you together. God Himself. In the midst of the cosmic chaos and infinite combinations that could be, God has specifically and remarkably joined your two souls to become one. To become one, tool of grace, example of faithfulness, story of redemption, and force for good. So while this world may feel like it's unraveling around us, we have a choice and the opportunity to tighten the bond that God has bound together. What greatness is your marriage on the verge of? What hill are you about to conquer? What level of God's grace are you about to discover? It's no accident that you're here. So make the choice to serve, to grow, and to love.
Well, we want to welcome you here to High Point today. So thankful, all of our campuses. God is doing an awesome thing as we are celebrating. Yes, we've said it, 19 years as a church family. Come on, let's give it up. Good stuff. It's so good to see what He's doing. And so we're in a unique series. If you're visiting with us, we just want to say thank you so much for being with us today. Jody and I are not normally up here together, but it's an awesome opportunity as we have a three-week series we're doing. And so we want to talk with you about some of the things that we've learned over the last 29 years in marriage. Let me start with this. I know, Jode, we've known each other for a long time. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about one of the most interesting jobs that you've had?
All right. Well, I've had quite a few in my past. My dad was a fruit grower, so I did a lot of stuff, a lot of crazy stuff on the farm, some technical things, some budding these dwarf apple trees. I did some grafting,
right.
Very technical. But I think the most interesting one would be my TV debut.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. He usually acts like he forgets, but I was in a commercial. None of you know this. It all started, I had a college job at Cedar Point. I don't know if you're familiar with Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio. If you are a roller coaster enthusiast, it's the roller coaster capital of the world. So
come
I worked
on, let's
there.
Give it up, Cedar Point. Yeah, it's good. I know. Somebody is happy about that mention.
Well, I worked there like a couple summers, right?
Right.
But there was one special day when this crew of people came up to my friends and I and said, hey, would you girls like to be in a commercial? We're like, yes, absolutely. Like, we're in college. We're thinking, this is great. So right off the bat, it was kind of weird because they told us to meet everybody at the Corkscrew, which is one of the roller coasters. That's exactly like how it sounds. And we were supposed to meet there at 11 o'clock at night. So the park had closed at 10, so we get there. And it was. We got there. There was cameras. There was a crew. They had this huge camera strapped on the front of the train, of the cart. And it was kind of like the old-fashioned version of the GoPro, only it was huge. And so it's sitting on there, all strapped on there, and then that first car was empty, and then the next one, well, they happened to put me and my friend in that car, so the camera's right there. So we're sitting there. You get all strapped, and you got the seatbelt, and you got this thing over you. We're sitting there waiting. Next thing at the last minute, the professionals get there. So they had the professional actors that sat in the front cart.
So it wasn't you guys.
No, it wasn't. So we should have known right then. But at that point, we're strapped in. They were smart. So we're all, a bunch of us are all on these cars. And the way the evening went is 4 hours of riding the Corkscrew. With all its
Non-stop.
Thrills and excitement. Well, it was actually, they actually stopped. Believe it or not, the thing runs for like a minute and 40 seconds. They would stop each time. And the professionals, they got out. They would fix up their hair, their makeup. Well, the rest of us are just like, sit tight. I don't really have a choice. So they would fix them up and get in. So it got so bad that by the end of it, during those little breaks when they were getting all touched up, we were actually falling asleep, and then all of a sudden the thing would start, and we were like, okay, here we go. But to make a long story short, we ended up, I think they gave us $30 each. So, that's a win, right? But our purpose, clearly, when the commercial came out, it was lots of special effects. So all you saw were those the professionals in the front seat. Everything else was black. So we were basically dead weight. You know, we were our goal, our job was to keep the roller coaster on the tracks because I can't run it empty. So that was my big moment.
Well, maybe you felt like dead weight at a job. I think all of us have, but whatever jobs we've had, there's always expectations and there's always roles and responsibility that the employer has, that as an employee, that there's certain things that I'm supposed to do, whether it's stated or unstated. That's what we want to talk to you about today. What do I mean? Well, there's expectations and biblical roles for husbands and wives in marriage. We want to share with you a little bit about what that looks like. If you have a Bible, open it up to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're in a series. It's entitled Tightening the Knot. We're talking about the choices that we each as individuals need to make to tighten the marriage knot. If you're not married, please do not check out online at all of our campuses. Don't check out, because each of the choices that we're talking about, they're really applicable to any relationship, that these are the things that God's word is asking us to do. Last time we were together, we talked about the choice to grow spiritually, that we would choose to grow spiritually and choose to love unconditionally. Those are choices that each of us need to make in any relationship, that we would grow in the Lord and that we would love each other the way God's word says and the way he desires. Today, this is a classic passage, as that it talks a lot about responsibilities and roles. So the title of the message is Choose to Serve Sacrificially. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say about serving each other sacrificially in the marriage relationship, but one of the most effective ways is to know your God-given roles and responsibilities and to fulfill those in a way that God desires. That's what we want to talk with you about. So, Jody, can you read for us from Ephesians chapter 5? Let's all start in verse 22.
Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. If you'll bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, we all come into relationship with hopes and expectations, whether stated or more often than not, they're unspoken. But Lord, what really matters is what are your expectations? That's right. And as we look at the marriage relationship specifically, we just thank you, God, that you have given us your word, that, Lord, you've given us a guide, and you've made your hopes and expectations known so that we can flourish as we make this choice to serve one another sacrificially. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's do this. I want to start with the guys, and I want to just kind of paint for you a picture of two foundational truths. The first one is this. We'll put it up on the board. If you're a note taker, write this down. Husbands are called to lead through love. If you take a look at verse 33, which summarizes this passage of scripture, that's what it says that we're called to do, is love. And so we have been given the opportunity to lead through love. Wives, on the other hand, and Jody's going to speak specifically to the ladies in the audience today, is that wives are called to honor through respect. So those are the two foundational truths that we want to build upon today. So I'm going to start with leading through love. What does it look like in the scriptures? Well, these verses give us some real clues as to what that looks like. I want to give us the five S's of love. I want to talk to the men. S number one is sacrifice. love sacrifices. That's what we are called to do. Look with me at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Question, what did Jesus do for the church, men? He died. I hear he loved. He gave. He gave everything. He sacrificed his blood, sweat, and tears for the church. Now, what Paul's doing is he's giving us an analogy between Christ and the church and husband and wife. And those two unique things, unbelievable mystery, he calls it. It's an unbelievable thing, and they are linked that what? That just as Jesus gave everything, sacrificed his all for the church, we as men are to sacrifice our all for our wives. What a high calling, and it's an interesting task. It's something that can be doubted. It's like, whoa, that is intense. Let me ask you this, men. What needs to die in you for your marriage to thrive? What is it specifically that needs to die, that needs to be put to death, so to speak, that needs to be crucified? I know for me in different seasons and different times that those things change, that there's always something that I can give of myself for the thriving and the health of our marriage relationship.
Yeah, I think back to even last week, we talked about right from the get-go, love sacrifices. Ron, left his job. It ended up really changing even what he did at his career. He kind of left accounting and went into sales, so it was a whole new thing. But he did that for the health of our marriage. Like, that was a necessary thing that he was willing to lay down and sacrifice. But then as time went on, I think it was that season when we had our first two kids were only 19 months apart. And if you know Ron, you know that he loves basketball. He basically grew up a gym rat. He probably spent more time in the gym than
right.
any other
right.
place. But it carried into our marriage. It was fine. He was always in these leagues. And so what that meant is, he'd be on multiple leagues at some time. So might be a practice or two evenings. And then games, the game night might be Thursday or whatever. Sometimes he'd go to Cleveland and meet up with his old buddies, and they'd play in some 3-on-3 tournament there. And then they'd come to Chicago. And so it could be at times, a kind of a big time commitment. But I just remember him coming up to me, and he I must not look too good. We have these two kids. And I remember he said, Jody, I'm gonna retire from basketball. And I have to tell you, this guy, he retired from basketball more times than Michael Jordan. But this was one of them. And, it meant the world to me. I probably started crying because I know how much he loves it. And I didn't have any problem with basketball. But he saw that it was cutting into our time, our relationship, his ability to be with the kids. Then we got into ministry and all this stuff. And I remember, he never really picked up golf because he was kind of like, no, I want to be at the girls' games when I can. There's a lot of times I can't be at them. When I can, I want to be there. So I just look and there was times over the years, with the basketball, it came and went. It didn't necessarily mean forever, but not now. So sometimes, if you're thinking about these things, are there things that I need to cut out? It might just be for a season,
right.
And then it can be something that you can go back to. The goal is not to, take all the joy out of
right.
your life. The goal is to just be sensitive to what's going on and know when it's time to lay something
down.
And
just to make it clear, I'm not officially retired yet, but the next S word is this. Go ahead and look at verse 26 because it's right in the text. Can you see it? It says that what? That he, Jesus, would sanctify her. Again, it's talking about the Jesus and the church, but compared to him as and husbands and wives, that having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle. So the word is sanctify. What it literally means is to set apart. It means that to set apart, it means to change. It's what we're called to do. Love sanctifies. It's this idea that I'm being called of God to be used in such an integral way to make my wife holy. I mean, again, another daunting task that you can say, but I can't, I need to be there for her, that I'm one of the people, one of the chief responsibilities that I have is to be an encouragement to her spiritual health and spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what happens, men, is we abdicate that responsibility to someone else. Maybe it's to a pastor or to the church or even to women's ministry or specifically Beth Moore. It's like, we give away our responsibility. And so, we're chuckling a bit, but, the reality is simply this, is that we oftentimes ask ourselves, where does it say that the man's supposed to be the spiritual leader? Well, here you see it, that we have a very clear role. Not that we have to be perfect, not that we have to be spiritual giants, but that we would be used of God to do this, to present our wives in spiritual growth. And that takes a lot. And to the man who's sitting here, because I've talked to enough men where you say, well, you know, she's out ahead of me. Like, you don't know my wife. Well, you don't know mine either. She's spiritually really sensitive, and man, she's there. I would just say to you, just start the spiritual conversation. I mean, you don't have to take the weight of, well, we got to study this, we got to do this. Just even after the weekend services, choose to go to church together. Choose to be together and sit during the service. Choose to write down a couple things that you can talk about after. Hey, men, let me give you the key. All you got to do at breakfast or lunch after the service is just say, what did you learn today? Or what challenged you from the message? Just say that. She starts going, you got to say another thing. Because she's just going to start going, and you're just going to just go like this, you know? Just...
They'll yes. buy you a couple bites.
I thought of that. No, but seriously, a lot of times we want to do this. We want to put too much pressure on ourselves. Let me give you a little tool. Men, please, all of us in the service, I think it may have been in your bulletin. There's a 40-day journey. It's a 40-day journey to Easter, and it goes through. It's a Bible study card. Is it in your bulletin or no? I'm not sure. I think here at this campus, we just were out at North Aurora, and they all had them. It'll be available as you exit the service. So pick one of these up. Pick as many as you want. It's a 40-day Bible study to help prepare us for Easter. So I'm just saying to the men right now, hey, make the choice to do it. It's one or two chapters a day. And, you know, do this. Maybe, you know, don't say, well, I'm going to do it every day. You know what? Pick a few times this, you know, a week to sit down and have a spiritual conversation of what you're learning and how you're growing. Why? Because love sanctifies. The next word is this, S word, love serves. It's our job to serve our wives. It's our job to serve our family. And that service changes as time goes on, is what we're called to do, what we're not called to do. But look at the illustration that's given in verse 28. It says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Think about that for a moment. So it's like we all love our own bodies. We want to take care of ourselves when we're sick. Hey, we want everybody to take care of us. When we're hungry, give me some food. But it says, he who loves his wife loves himself, for he ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Jody is an extension of me. Certainly not necessarily physically, but spiritually speaking. And so just as I care for myself physically, I'm to care for her spiritually. Love serves, that we would create an environment where we would be serving one another. You know, we just recently were on with Gary Chapman, and he wrote that book, The Five Love Languages. And we had the privilege of being introduced to him and getting to know him a little bit. And he interviewed us for the book that we did about these choices for the marriage knot. And we immediately started talking about the love languages. I'm sure you've probably heard of the five love languages, which is an unbelievable resource. And so think about what the love languages are for a moment. So you got acts of service, you got words of affirmation, touch, gifts, quality time. Well, I was joking with Gary Chapman, and I said, you know, the thing you didn't tell me is that, you know, like once I got one down, husbands, are you hearing me? It's like I got this one down, and then you didn't tell me they change.
It's a woman's prerogative to change.
And as soon as I got one down, it would be like it's something different. You know, it's like I thought it was all about what? Quality time together. And then when you've got two kids, three kids, yeah. That it's always about acts of service. Yeah. And so whatever you can do to help around the house is going to be a really big thing, that you would split the responsibility so that we would serve one another. It's so important. Love serves. Jody and I, our parents, although we weren't raised in Christian homes, both of our parents came to Christ later in their lives. 60s and 70s. We were the first Christians in our family. What they did model is service. My dad served my mom for 49 years of marriage until the last memory I have is that him serving her by cutting up the medicine so she could swallow it as she was dying from cancer, that he served her for the whole. Same could be said with Jody. Jody's mom and dad served each other until her dad's last day. So it's something that we never get sick of. It's something that we have to continue to do is serve each other. Let me give you a verse for the next one. Men, please write this down on your heart. Please write this down in your notes. Please get a tattoo. First Peter chapter 3, verse 7. This is the one. Yep, put it somewhere. Write it on your hand. I remember when I first became a Christian, there was a guy who was mentoring me. He was a fire chief in at Schaumburg Fire Department, and I used to meet with him, and he would ask me, are you doing 1 Peter 3, 7? Are you doing 1 Peter 3, 7? Let's put 1 Peter 3, 7 on the screen. Here it is. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Now, when it says weaker vessel, it's not saying that Jody's inferior. What it's saying is like this. She's like Waterford Crystal. Let's put the picture up. Ladies, this is what you are. I've got three daughters, and you're like fine china. Are you hearing me? You're precious in the sight. It's just so delicate, so ornate, so wonderful. Isn't it true? The ladies are just so fine, and that's what they are, ornate. Men, this is you. Put it up. You're like an old plastic. You see this paper cup? It's just like this. It's like thrown away. It's get off the ground. It's all dirty. It doesn't matter. I'll drink that. It doesn't care. I mean, it's just so different. And then that's what we are. And so what we're to do is we're to treat them as fine china. We're to love them in such a way. Write this S word down. Studies. Love studies. And that's what love is called to do. And, you know, Jody and I, we've joked about it. I met her when she was in seventh grade. I was in eighth grade. I was the new kid. And so we've known each other throughout the years. We know things about each other. Do you know how your wife responds in certain situations? Do you know what turns her on and turns her off? And I'm not just talking about that. Just what? Well, that you know the intricacies of what she's really feeling and going through. It takes time to get to know the wife. I mean, your spouse. I mean, and just to getting to a level, a deeper level of friendship. We've made it over 29 years because we're best friends. And she knows me, and I know her. And it's so important. Now, men, let me give you a little hint. You know, wives are like this. You know, they're like Christmas lights. Do you know what I mean by that? They're like, you know, when Christmas lights, when one goes out, they all go out. Are you hearing me? And so emotionally speaking, isn't it? They're just like emotionally speaking. But men, we're so compartmentalized with the way we think. We can, you know, oh yeah. Women aren't like that emotionally. And we have to be extremely patient to do this, to study our wives in such a way. You say, how important is this? Well, put the verse back up. I'll tell you, it's extremely important because it says that if we do not do this, that your prayers will be hindered. They may be hindered. So you are putting a self-induced ceiling on your life if you don't do this, if you don't do the things that we're saying in regards to studying your wife. Let me give you the last S word, and it has all to do with what it says in verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave and cleave. It's like leave his father and his mother. It's just like this. Hey, put that away and hold fast to his wife as the two become one. What a great picture spiritually and emotionally is that you are one. Love stays. Let's say that together, men. Love stays. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? There's too many times when we want to do what? We want to cut out. We want to run. We want to do something different. We want to start over. Love stays. We've been extremely candid, and I hope the transparency in this series is helpful to you. I know there's many new people coming, but I can remember the time when I was ready to cut and run, and Jody and I were going to get a divorce, and it was real. It was there. And man, we were there. And too many times, men, we're cutting and running. And maybe we're not doing it like divorce, but we're out of the relationship. A marriage relationship grows silent long before it grows cold. Mm-hmm. And so let's make sure that we're together, that we're committed to one another. Hey, if I would have cut and run at that time, and if I would have done this, mm-hmm. if I would have just started over, I'd have missed the relationship that I have with Jesus right now because God brought me to himself. I'd have missed the sincerity of what of Jody and I, the restored relationship that he brought us back together. What an unbelievable thing. I'd have missed the grace, the truth. I'd have missed the blessing of three wonderful daughters. God has so much in store for us. Man, let's stick it out. Let's get knocked down, but not get knocked out. Let's continue to do what? Not throw in the towel, but let's go for it together. Mm-hmm. That's what we're called to do. So I'm going to put a summary slide up, and men, I want you to think about this for a moment and think about those S words and think about which is the one that I need to grow in this week, this month. Don't let this be an exercise of futility. If we're going to tighten the marriage knot, this is how we are to lead through love. This is true leadership in your home. This is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Now, Jody has wants to talk about respect, and we're going to do that by doing what? We got a little song, right?
Yeah. So, ladies, we're called to honor through respect, and so we're going to use a little acronym for the word respect. So, we're going to call on my friend Aretha Franklin to help us out in case of the spelling of that word.
Oh my gosh. That's my favorite part. Socket. She's saying socket to me. Like, you're like, is that what?
Just bring it on. Bring on the respect. So I like that. It helps to hear that, you know, this does go both ways, right?
Okay.
We are to respect one another and honor one another. But here we go. Women, we are called to respect our husbands. And let me tell you, with the first letter R, it revives them, okay? So when we respect our husband, it revives them. It's like breathing life into
That's
them.
Right.
And it's right there in verse 33. It says, see to it that she respect it. It's a word that means revere or defer to, but I love how this scripture is constantly drawing the parallel between Christ and the church. So just how Ron was talking about the husband being like Christ and what he did for the church, the wife, we're supposed to be like the church and what we do as a church for Christ, or how we treat Christ and how we hold him.
That's good.
It's not hard to think, you know, we're at church here, and I would hope that we would all agree that, you know, we respect Christ.
Yeah.
We love him. We want to do the things that are pleasing to him as a church, do we not?
Yeah.
We want to serve him. We want to do whatever is going to put a smile on his face. And so when we think of it like that, this is about, it's more than just the relationship between us. This is about our relationship with Christ. And so he's calling us to do this. And I think of... there's three A words that are helpful in terms of respect and reviving our husband through this. The A words would be to acknowledge him, to affirm him, and to applaud him. And those are three things that are helpful ways to revive him and breathe life into him. Acknowledging is really just, you know, you already know it, you already see it in him. It's stuff you know about your husband. He's really good at his job. Like, just doing this for 2 weeks, I'll tell you what, I couldn't do what he does. You know, I'm constantly thinking, I think I already said that. Well, yeah, you did. You said it like a half hour ago. So like, that's messing me up. But I can't do what he does. He's really good at it. God's gifted him in that. But to tell him that, right? I need to be telling him that. Affirm him in his roles. Like, you're a great dad. You know, you do make the sacrifices. Our kids know that you love them. They've never questioned that 1 minute of their life. Applaud him. And I think of a couple we know that they'd been married 15 years, and they describe it. They came to a point where they just didn't like each other anymore. So they were going along fine, but they got to year 15. They're like, they don't even like... When they start to break it down and what was going on here, one of the things, the guy, he had been an athlete, you know, through college. He'd played football and all that. So he was used to getting this applause. You know, he was used to crowds, you know, knew his name. And he's married now for 15 years. And he said to his wife, he said, he feels like when I get home, I feel like what I hear from you is, boo, boo. You know, he felt like she was booing him, and she was just shocked. You can imagine. She didn't feel like she was doing that. But what it was is, you know, the first thing he'd come in the door, and it would be like, oh, you forgot to do this. You know, we forgot to get the garbage out this morning, you know, and or do you think you could maybe get home a little earlier and spend some time with the kids? They need you, you know. And it's all these normal things, but he just felt like he got home and it was just like, it was deflating him, you know.
Yeah.
And it really hit home to me too, because I thought about Ron, you know, he was kind of a jock in high school too. And I remember even there was a cheer that our cheerleaders did in high school that actually had Zap in it. Like, so that's how bad it was. But, yeah, so anyhow.
I'd like to teach our church that year.
Yeah.
And so if you would just now, we better move on. Okay.
But we'll go right to this next one. This empowers, because this gets into if you look at the scripture and where it talks about submit to one another, that's our next thing that we talk. So the beginning of the scripture kind of talks about submitting in verse 22, and then it goes to verse 33 with the respect. So the women's roles are kind of the bookends of this. That's an easy way to remember it. But that word is talking about God's protection in our life. It really is. So the word submit, the thing I like is you'll notice in verse 21, it's not just for wives. It says here that all of us like are submit to one another out of reverence for Christ in verse 21. So that means everybody, all Christians, we are called to submit to one another. This particular passage just happens to be talking about within the marriage relationship.
Right.
So it's set up really, I look at it as almost like an escape clause. Like there's going to come times when you're married or you're in any close relationship, there's going to come times when you just don't agree. You know, you just aren't seeing things the same way. This wives submit to your husband is kind of that caveat to where when we come to an impasse where we just are not in agreement on this, hey, he's not asking me to sin, it's not wrong, I just don't agree with it, then I'm supposed to yield, right? And it goes that way in a lot of things in life. So all of us are called to submit, right?
That's
We're called to submit to the authorities. If a fireman came into your business and he starts telling you, you need to go right now to that stairwell and get out of here, you know, you would say, yes, sir, right? You would get out of there because he's trying to save your life, right? It's protection. And that's what this is. This is willingly putting yourself under the protection of God and under your husband's godly leadership. And that's what we're our goal here. So the more the husband is leading in this godly way, it makes it easier and easier. But even when it isn't, it's kind of one of those things that we do. It's you know, I look at the office of the president right now. You know, there's a lot of people that might have a hard time, you know, respecting every single, you know, everything he said or everything he's ever done and things like that. But I would hope that in this room we would all agree to respect the role of the presidency, the president
office,
of the United
right.
States, the office of presidency, that we would all be praying for our president. So it's kind of like that in those hard times. You know, sometimes it takes that in the worst case scenario where we're doing it because, you know what, God has told me to do this. This is how he's protecting me. This is how he's providing for me. One of our deepest needs as women is for protection and provision, and this is one of the ways he does it. So, you know, last night it was raining, and I don't know about you, you know, would you rather be under that umbrella of God's protection, or would you rather be getting pelted by the, you know, the sleet
right.
and the freezing rain? So that's another way to look at it
and
as
I
well.
And I think it's important, Joe, for you saying, you know, when it is, we're putting yourself under the godly leadership of your husband, that he is doing the godly things, and it's so important. When you're doing this, you've said it a lot, that you're really putting yourself under God's umbrella of protection.
Mm-hmm.
And for the husbands that are listening, and for you that are saying to yourself, yeah, I love this verse. It's my favorite verse in the Bible right here. Listen, you're missing it. You're not getting it, because the truth of the matter is this. Like, I can't count on one hand the number of times that I've thrown this out in a 29 years of marriage, that we're mutually submitting to one another, helping one another to grow and to move forward. And, you know, God has, you know, mm-hmm. our wives can speak truth into our hearts like no one else. So we've better be yielding and moving forward in a way that's honoring him.
That's right. I love in our premarital classes, we have our Igor and his wife are here today. And one of the things they've learned and are helping our young people that are about to get married is they talk about, you know, this idea of yielding to one another, submitting to one another, is how important is this really to you, too? That's another way to kind of live this out. You know, so if the husband's like, well, it's probably a 4, you know, and she's like, well, I think that's definitely a 7 for me. You know, let's listen to one another and figure it out. And that's another way to just kind of help in terms of figuring out, you know, if the one person is feeling super strongly about it, well, let's pay attention to that. And, you know, let's work on that. So our next letter we come to is the letter S, and that is for strengthen. So respect strengthens him. And ladies, if you turn to Proverbs 31, you might be familiar with this. It's a woman known as the Proverbs 31 lady, or she's also known as the excellent wife. So that's why I'm making reference to that here today as we are studying this relationship. You'll notice in there she is doing all kinds of things. She is providing for her household. She's feeding other people. She's buying land and selling it. She's buying merchandise, making stuff, selling it for a profit. She is doing all kinds of things. She's not just sitting at home like, okay, what should I do next? You know, what would you like me to do? So we get married. It's not like you check your gifts and abilities and talents at the door. This set of scriptures is where we are better together. This is the better That's right. together scripture, because you see she's doing all kinds of things. She's the CEO, the CFO, and the COO all in one. But what I love is in verse 11, it says that the heart of her husband trusts in her.
Yeah.
So in other words, the stuff she's doing, and this is a check for us two ladies, you know, there's a lot of stuff we can be doing, but the stuff she's doing is helping him. His heart trusts in her. It's, it says he's lacking nothing. You know, he's known at the gates. It's helping him. So that's what's important there too. You don't want to be neglecting the relationship by doing all these crazy things. And it's not saying that we have to be doing all those things. You have your own sets of gifts and abilities, but God That's right. wants, you know, we are to bring those. That strengthens our husband. That's helping us to be better together. I love how at the end of Proverbs 31, it mentions, you know, that the kids rise up and call her blessed. And I'm just telling you, it might not happen in the high school years, okay? This can be kind of rough. I was told I was annoying after the fact thing by some of them. Some of them told me right, you know, right in the moment. But afterwards, guys, stick with it. You know, it pays off. They rise and call you blessed.
Right.
It says also that her husband praises her. So this is an awesome thing. Like, use your gifts and abilities respectfully, and this will strengthen not only him but your relationship as well.
Speaking of the Proverbs 31 woman, right in my Bible it says Jody. I'd recommend this. Husbands, turn in your Bible right now, and you might have caught me. I wrote it in.
Oh,
but just write it. It has her picture right in there. But seriously, though, that is the woman that what? That's the kind of the woman that she has been and models and is. And I love what it says in verse 25. I certainly wake up to this each day. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And so really what Jody's experiencing and explaining is this, that as we come together, and how it strengthens me is that we use both of our gifts and our abilities, what we're great at, and really for the strength of the marriage relationship, that we are truly better together.
Mm-hmm. All right, so our next letter in our acronym is P, and when we respect our husband, we need to pray for him also. So part of respecting him is praying for him. And if you look at 1 Thessalonians, it says here, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In other words, constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So again, this is for all of us, right? But I can say this definitively, that prayer has been the single most productive and effective use of my time. I have never once regretted time that I've spent in prayer calling out to God. There are so many things, let's be honest, that we have no control over. Things like health, things like, you know, just things other people are doing, circumstances around us. And prayer is the thing that you can get alone, you can do this anywhere, it's you and God. Well, in relationship with your husband, it's even more important. Like, we should be the person that is praying for him the most. All right, I have a husband who's a pastor, and I have all these people kind of, I pray for you. I pray for you every day. I pray for you every week. Well, like, I got to pray for him more. I got to pray for him more than any other person because he's my husband. And I love that there's a book that I've referred to more than once throughout our 29 years. It's by Stormy O'Marsh, and you may have heard of it, The Power of a Praying Wife. They have one, A Power of a Praying Husband as well.
I didn't know that.
I'm kidding, yeah. I think I bought it for him, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure I did. So it has 30 things. So if you're not sure, what should I be praying for my husband?
Right.
It gives 30 things. You know, you can pray for anything, but everything from health, you know, his leadership, his job, his, you know, his role as a father, all kinds of things. There's 30, enough one for each day of the month if you wanted. But what I will say also about prayer is that God has accomplished more through my prayers than my words. And I had to kind of learn that the hard way. at different times where I just kind of, you know, you try to, you're saying it all the time, like, oh, no, right. I need this. But I found when I prayed, God was very effective. And it came about more in better ways, better than what I asked for oftentimes. So pray for him. The next letter in our acronym is encourages. So respect encourages him. Notice in Proverbs 25 that it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. I love that scripture for anything. It's basically being careful, choosing the right words and choosing the right time to use them. So in this encouragement area, I think, you know, I feel like moms do a really good job of this with their sons. Now, I didn't have sons. I have two now, but they're old, you know, they're grown-ups. But
big boys.
Yeah, big boys. But he... his mother did a great job of this. She was an encourager. So two things when I met Ron, his mom was a really good cook and she was a really good encourager. And she set the bar pretty high, but I just remember her saying things like, oh, Ron, he was always a good boy. Oh, such a good boy. And then she said, oh, when he was, I don't know, seven or something, he made this little office and it was all organized. It's just, I just knew right then and there he was going to be a leader. Ronnie, you are going to be a leader someday. You're going to be running something. I don't know what, but... So she was, but this is good. You know, moms are great at building in and encouraging, especially their sons. And we need to do that. I'm not discouraging that. The funniest thing I think she ever told me about him was she said, you know, Ron, he potty trained himself. I didn't even have to do it. He did it himself. And, you know, you'd have thought, this kid is a genius. And I remember thinking, oh, that's great, you know, and I think we were married at the time, and I thought, yeah, I think he could have used a little more instruction there, maybe, I don't know, it's harder than... But it's all good. So I came into this marriage, you know, she set the bar high here in the encouragement area, and poor Ron, you know, he comes in, I'm not saying all these stuff, so I realized, but those things, guys, that just builds them up, you know, and words are not expensive or costly, but they, when the right word spoken at the right time is... It does amazing things. Our men need that. Their need is for significance. They are hardwired that way. They need to know that their life counts, that they're accomplishing things. We need to be the person that's, you know, blowing wind under their wings in that area. So I love, okay, so our next letter is C, and it's for the word compliment. And so not compliment, like I'm complimenting him right now. It's
compliment. Oh, I didn't feel complimented in the last section.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just feeling
he
a little,
amazing.
You know.
He's amazing. And for more things than that, you know. So anyhow. But so if you go right back, this whole idea of complimenting coming alongside
right.
with an E.
It's
if
important.
You look at Genesis right at the very beginning, and it says in Genesis 2, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for
That's
him.
Right.
So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs, closed up its place with flesh, and then it went on to say, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the interesting thing about that is, of all the other things God created, everything else he created from the ground, you know, from dirt. But the woman is the only thing. Like God actually took the man's rib
right.
and created the woman and made her especially fit for him to be a helper. Nothing else was going to do it. Everything else he'd created, nothing else was found. So God specifically designed us out of, and it's kind of, you know, it's crazy. It's kind of weird, but it's also awesome. Like we are different than any other thing
yeah.
that God created. I love that quote you have, Ron, from Matthew Henry.
Yeah, I'm going to read this to you. And really this takes out any confusion that men might be having in regards to what does it look like and what does that mean? And I just love this. He says and writes, the woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near to his heart to be beloved. That's what the relationship looked like as we complement one another. So lastly, I know, Jody, we've got the last one that's really kind of almost a summary for all things, is that respect does this, and I've experienced this. Respect transforms, and it helps to transform us. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 says it best, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. What a great picture that what we're talking about today, and Jody has modeled this and done this, it works. It transforms.
That's right. And really, this goes for both husbands and wives. If you've been married any length of time, the more you get to know the other person, right? We study each other. We've all had times where we're praying. We want God to change him. He wants God to change her. That's going to be kind of normal. But what's cool about this is the way God has designed it is if we're doing these things, if I'm focusing, if I change that prayer from God change him, and instead I say, God change me, help me to honor him through respect, help me in these things that you've asked me to do. And when I do that, that is how God changes him. Me doing that, and it goes the other way. The more Ron is loving the way Christ loved the church, he's loving sacrificially, he's doing all these things, he's serving, that changes me. It makes it easier for me to do my role. My role makes it easier for him to do his. And it's meant so that we can have this close, harmonious relationship. And really, what this scripture, our original one in Ephesians, is all those references to Christ and the church, this is really all of us, right? We're all supposed to be doing these things to Christ. It's supposed to be a picture of the gospel. Like, our marriage should be an amazing witness tool. Like, everybody, marriage is tough, you know, but our goal, and none of us are doing this perfectly, but as we strive to do these things, the other thing that's at stake is we are showing the gospel to a lost world, to people that are hurting, that don't have these. Like, Ron and I didn't know any of this stuff. Yeah. Well, as we live that out in front of people, that it gets the attention of, wow, how are they making it, you know? And that's the kind of marriage we want to have, one that glorifies God and one that, you know, shows that healthy picture of our relationship to
Christ. Thanks, Joe. Let's do this. We'll put the summary slide up for the ladies so that you can take a look at what this looks like. And I want to challenge all of us in this moment that you might be thinking to yourself, well, if you knew my husband, if you knew my wife, I thoroughly believe that husbands, if we do what it says in verses 25 through 33, if we love the way we talked about today, that she will truly respect in this way too. So I'm gonna ask that we would all stand together for a moment, bow our heads, and for the married couples that are in the room, if you could grab your spouse's hand, and for all of us to just acknowledge in this moment with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the worship team comes forward, that we can't do the things that we're asking on our own. That these are the kinds of things that the respect that we're being called, that the love, the way we're called to do it, the way the scripture says, just in your spirit, in your heart, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just admit, I can't do it. Lord, I can't accomplish this. Lord, I need you. Father, I need you to love the way you desire through me. I know that I can forgive, Lord, because of the forgiveness that you've granted me. And so maybe you're in need of a fresh start in any relationship now. God is the one that can empower you. Let us set our hearts and our minds upon him. As the worship team begins to sing over us, why don't you, in your own spirit, in your own heart, let's set our mind on Jesus. Let's set our hearts on him. Let's reset our hearts in such a way where we can access the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we can do this. We can do the things that he's calling us to do. Lord, move now. Lord, help us now. Lord, we set our hearts and our minds on you.